Okay, we're moving on to some spring sports because the weather is what there's sun out there today. It feels like it's 70 and sunny out there.
It's a beautiful day today in Mount Pleasant. So
you guys are getting ready to go to Florida, but I feel like you could just have the tournament up here this weekend.
We could. I know. Starting MAC play next week, so we'll be back in the surrounding states soon. Excited to head down to Florida and get a few more non-conference games in before we start MAC play.
McCall Salmon, seventh year now as the head coach of Central Michigan softball. We were just talking about it. Time just flies by, doesn't it?
It has. It's been a great 7 years, and we've seen growth every year that we've been here, and just really passionate about being a Chippewa and doing what we do every day for our student athletes.
I want to go back to the start and how you got here and go through the let's just start at the beginning. How did you get so invested and involved in softball?
You know, when I was growing up, my brother played baseball, and there wasn't a ton of softball opportunities at the time. So, you know, I was that little sibling who was following around my dad and my brother at every event they were at, played baseball when I was younger, and then made the transition to softball, as I got closer to eighth grade high school area. So really loved the sport, found out I was pretty good at it too. I thought I was going to go to the University of Tennessee and play for Pat Summitt, but my 5'4 build and my jump shot did not follow those that path that I wanted, so I needed to find a new one. And you know, got the opportunity to be recruited my senior year. My brother played baseball at Aquinas College, and it was a school on my list. And when I got the opportunity to visit, you know, I fell in love with the campus and the culture there, and, you know, made some lifelong friends, and had some great winning seasons and moments while we were, while I was playing at Aquinas. So,
first base, right?
First base, yes. Once again, 5'4", but I could jump a little bit.
How did you get to first base at 5'4"? You had to have been pretty good.
You know, when we came in as freshmen, there was two spots open. First base and third base, and one of my other freshman teammates, she had a much better arm than I did, so she ended up being the starting third baseman for all 4 years, and I was a starting first baseman for all 4 years. So you know, just do what you have to do to get in the game and play, and I loved it because I was in every play.
That's I'm assuming also got to help, kind of that, you know, I feel like up here as Chippewas, kind of that underdog mentality a little bit, and like you have a prime example of that. You weren't the prototypical tall first baseman, but like
Right. You
have your intangibles, you made it work, and you made it into you being really good at that position.
We tell recruits all the time, we have a blue collar type mentality. Like, we're going to put our head down and we're going to work day in and day out, whether it's on the softball field, in the classroom, or in the weight room. So I agree. I kind of embodied that when I was playing myself, you know, just whatever I could to get a little bit better every single day and just help my team be successful. And, you know, learned when I was playing, I really didn't think coaching was in my future. Like, I loved working in athletic administration, was an intern and a student worker in our athletic department, and knew I wanted to be in athletics and do something there. And, you know, the coaching and the leadership piece started to show, and my coaches at the time, you know, really were like, hey, you should maybe take a look at this and, you know, explore. And my coach at Aquinas, Rhonda Barnsdale, ended up leaving the year after I graduated to start the program at Davenport University in Grand Rapids. And that is exactly what led me into coaching. She reached out about being her assistant. It was a full-time position. I was going to also work in the sports information office, so a dual role, once again, being in athletic administration and coaching. You know, my 23-year-old self was very excited and motivated, and also starting that program fresh in, you know, getting to develop and see it grow into what it is now, from NAI powerhouse to now a Division II powerhouse in the GLIAC, one of the best conferences from a Division II standpoint across the board. And, you know, it was just really fortunate for that time and that opportunity, and to be surrounded by great people that made me a better leader and a better softball coach.
You said you didn't know coaching was for sure in your future, but now that you've gotten into it, how much have you just fallen in love with this role?
I really couldn't imagine myself doing anything else. Yeah. I think you know, I get to come to work every day. You know, I get to coach softball every day, and it's not something I take for granted. And I have a phenomenal staff that the saying goes, you surround yourself with great people, great things will happen. And, you know, we have that here at Central Michigan. And, you know, that also comes with our student athletes. They're dedicated, motivated, and they buy into our culture, what we're trying to achieve, and just embody that in their everyday work ethic. So, yeah, you know, sometimes we don't know what we need in the future. And I'm just fortunate that my path led me to coaching, and I get to do what I love every day.
I love the, usually there's an appreciation when you start at like a level like NAIA and then you move to Division II and then you're Division I. Not that you can't go Division I to Division I, but right. Do you feel that just there's more usual amenities at the Division I level, and do you feel like you appreciate all of this now a little bit more because of your background?
Of course. I think, you know, the root of, you know, being successful, like, you have to appreciate whatever you have and work with what you have. You know, we talk about having a positive mindset and being a fountain and not a drain. So if I sat here and, you know, just talked about all the things that we don't have, I want to embody, you know, what we stand for and what we preach as coaches. So, you know, I think every level you see different resources or different amenities that can help you. But at the end of the day, the game is the game. And hard work is really at the root of it, and finding the right people in the right spots and giving them the right plan. And I think you can do that in any setting. You know, I think every level of the game is just a little bit different. But at the end of the day, there's nine players out there. There's a pitcher, there's a catcher, there's a batter, and you have to execute. So.
Take us through that time when you were first an assistant at Davenport, and then you became the head coach. You took them to the World Series at the NAIA level, mm-hmm. and then you go to Division II. Like, going through all of that transition, what was that all like?
It was awesome. I think I just really appreciate being able to learn in all the different settings. When Davenport was making the transition to Division II, I was actually on the transformation committee. So being in the nuts and bolts of really what goes into that process. And that's what led me to transitioning into the head coaching position at Davenport. Was Rhonda at the time was our senior women's administrator. And there's a rule or policy at the time that you couldn't have your senior woman administrator also be in a coaching role. So, you know, she, I mean, she's my biggest mentor and my biggest fan, and she knew that it was time to pass the torch, and had belief and confidence in me that I knew that we could get it done. And, you know, so during that process, I think the hardest part was just not being able to compete in postseason those first couple years. You know, first year we finished second in the GLIAC tournament, and we're not able to, you know, see our names called for a potential regional bid. So just a couple years of transition, but, you know, just an awesome atmosphere, and just really grateful for everything that came before me. But, you know, the work doesn't stop. And as soon as we got here at Central Michigan, you know, foot on the ground and trying to build off of what Coach Yonker had built for many years, and continue on this very historic and legendary softball program.
It's pretty cool. I mean, you talk about the history of this program. Your facilities are incredible. You guys have the turf out there. It looks great. Mm-hmm. I mean, to see that and get the opportunity to come here and be a Chippewa, how awesome has this been to be the head coach of this program up here in Mount Pleasant?
Just very grateful. Like I said, I don't take it for granted. Every single day I get to come to work is a day that I know I can pour into, you know, student athletes that, you know, want to represent the sea in a way that was always meant to be. And, you know, we call it the Chippewa way. And, you know, we have values and standards that we live by. And, you know, just being able to mold them and shape them and guide them, it's one of the biggest rewards that, you know, I get as a coach. And, you know, it's not the wins on the field, it's after they graduate and they get into grad school and they find that dream job, and you can see them navigating life lessons and what life gives us after college, and doing it in a productive, positive way, and now being able to give to others is, I mean, that's the greatest reward from a coaching standpoint. So
here's my favorite thing about everybody. We all have our little quirks and our unique things. And if you have not yet met Coach Salmon, one, shame on you, but two, you're a pretty superstitious individual. So can you take us behind the scenes of what's going on there and how this became a thing?
Yeah, I really wish I wasn't, right? But I blame my father. He was kind of ingrained that. I remember getting ready to go to my brother's baseball tournaments and, you know, everything from how the car is loaded to what he's wearing and, you know, all those routines was very specific. And it just, you know, I carried that over, and I call them routines because, you know, if you have a solid routine, you know, your mind tells you that, you know, what you do next is you're going to be able to do it at your best, right? You don't doubt yourself. You eliminate that doubt. So very superstitious. I think it comes along with the sport. I know my players, they have their own superstitions as well. They graciously feed into mine too, and I appreciate them for supporting me in that area. But yeah, it's just, I think, a lot to do with our game, baseball and softball in general. Yep. But if you come out to Margot Yonker Stadium, you watch us at any point, you can definitely pick up on some of my cues and my quirks from a superstition standpoint. But
okay, well, we're definitely going to get to Margot Yonker Stadium. But, like, for right now, can you give us, like, on a game day, is it something with the lineups? Is it touching the baseline? Like, what are the things that you have to do at a specific time?
Exactly. I think it starts from, you know, once I arrive to the field, where my bag has to be placed. It always has to be at the furthest end of the dugout. And when I write the lineup, you know, there's a sequence of how I get my lineup card out of my clipboard. And then I have a tracking sheet for the other team that I put on there. Once I write that, you know, it's carbon copy. So the one copy always has to go right to Julia.
Mm-hmm.
The pink copy, I have to fold it a certain way, goes in my pocket, and then the other two will be handed at the mound visit. But, you know, before the innings, I always have to give the pitcher and catcher a high five or knucks, whatever we're doing that day, along with the third baseman. And then I walk into the dugout, I go down to the dugout, and I get a drink of water, take a deep breath, and then I walk back to the other end and get ready for whatever defensive situations we need to tackle and relay. So that is just one of many. I don't think we have time to get into all of them today, but you know, before our hitters go up to bat, same thing, I give them a high five, knucks, tap their helmet, and then I do a little jog down to third base, try to get my steps in, a little cardio in game as well. So yeah, just a couple. So I encourage our fans, come out and see if you can. Maybe we need to do a little activity.
We need a bingo card.
Like a bingo card.
Yes.
Like, I saw it. Superstition number one. Check it off. Like, there's plenty. So
it's like the game within the game. We're gonna come out there to watch the game, but we also need to check in on McCall. Did she step on the line? Did she go get her steps in?
I was just gonna say, and you know that the biggest rule out there is you never touch the line. So always hopping over that or stepping over.
And what has happened if you've forgotten to do one of these things?
Nothing, right? Like, I think it's just a mental game you play with yourself. So I don't think we have time to get into all of this. Maybe I need to go see Dr. Megan for a little bit, and she can help me work through a couple of them too. But at the end of the day, everything will still be just fine.
You mentioned your dad and maybe him being the reason you picked up on some of these things. I want to ask you about him. I know he was very important to you in the game of softball, but also you have a couple of kids. I'm assuming in just the circle of life of him helping you grow up, and now you get to be the parent of two individuals. Like, tell me and us how much your dad has instilled upon you and how much he means to you.
My dad's my hero. Unfortunately, you know, he passed 3 years ago, but the lessons that he gave to me, the time he spent with my kids, you know, the father he was to my brother and I. And obviously my mom plays a huge role in that too. I don't want her to be left out. But, you know, they just taught us what hard work really is. You know, he was a hired farmer, went to work every day, worked in the fields, never missed a game, always knew how proud he was of my brother and I, and how proud he was of, you know, everything that we did as people and, you know, in our sports and our activities too, was always our biggest fan. So he would call me before every game day, you know, just to say good luck, win or lose, give a call after the game, just always knew, you know, he was my biggest support and never doubted what I did, but always found a way to critique in a productive way and help me stay grounded too. But I just recently inspired by my team, because maybe that should be another activity. Each player has their set amount of tattoos that they have and what they mean. And I've never gotten a tattoo until this past October. And
hey, now.
Yes. So this right here, I got on my right leg, because my dad was always right. And it is his signature. It's my maiden name, Kleinfelt, and it was the signature from my brother's letter of intent that he signed at Aquinas College. So,
wow.
A lot of family connections and history. And, you know, now being a mom, my husband and I were high school sweethearts, so we've been together for a long time. But, you know, trying to instill that, and, you know, Grandpa's still there. He's still carrying on his lessons and his guidance, even though we don't get to see or talk to him every day. But, you know, he was an extremely passionate coach, coached me, coached my brother, you know, learned from things he did well, maybe things that he didn't do well. And I'm just very proud to be his daughter and grateful for everything he's done. So
that's incredible. Like, it really is. And I gotta ask, like,
yeah,
what do you feel when you look down and see that on your, how do you feel it looks down there now that you have some ink?
You know, I love it. I love it. I always wear short socks, another superstition. but, you know, it's just, he's always with me. Everywhere I go and everything I do, he's always with me and guiding me and everything him and his mom, or him and my mom have instilled in my brother and I, you know, just try to make them proud every day.
I tell you what, this means extra to me, because, you know, I lost my dad coming up on 5 years ago, and it truly is, I'm sure you feel the same type of thing, that attachment to hoping to continue to make them proud and do it for them, even though they're not still here today.
Exactly. You know, our job is to carry on the legacy, and I'm sure, as you know, like, just because they're not here doesn't mean their impact can't continue. And I feel like now that's my job. And, you know, what I get to do as a coach and the lessons I get to teach my players and anyone that maybe I come in contact with or, you know, just get to connect with, trying to teach them those lessons and make it a positive impact on someone. And I think that's something that I saw at my dad's celebration of life, the amount of people that showed up and, you know, Tim McGraw sings that song, Standing Room Only, and it's to the T, like, and still to this day, I'll have his friends reach out and just say, like, your dad would have been so proud. Like, one of his friends sponsors a softball team in our community every year, you know, just carrying on his name, and people know what he did for the youth sports and baseball and softball and the community, and I want to carry that on and do that as well, wherever I am and in whatever impact I can have, so.
That connection to him, that connection to your mom, to your husband, to your kids, that family-centered mindset that you have, that carries over to your team. I'm sure you want that closeness with your group so that they are feeling that connection all together and you guys are playing as one.
You know, family is the root of everything, and love is one of our core values. And, you know, this is a situation where, you know, we need to love our teammates to the core, on the hard days, on the good days. And, you know, when we can really commit to that and do that well is when we see the success on the field and it turn over and that camaraderie, you know, just everyone's got each other's backs, and that's what we try and instill. Like, my family, my kids are around. They're going to, you know, be a part of the dugout. And I think that's another thing that I've seen my players make a positive impact on my kids. I say sometimes more than I do. But I just tell them how special their role is. And as student athletes, sometimes we can lose sight of that because, yes, we have exams and workouts and practice. But your guys' ability to impact that next generation and them to look at up to you is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. My daughter necessarily wasn't really into softball, and she was hanging out with our team, and all of a sudden now, like, she's all in. And it's not because I coach softball. It's because she watched these older girls support her and encourage her. And, you know, to me, that's another thing when I talked about how cool this job is. I see the impact that they make on others, and I try to remind them that. But yes, we're very family oriented. Like I say, like, we're on the road a lot, we're together a lot, and we want everyone's families to be a part of what we're doing and contribute to that. So,
and let's talk about this group. You guys are, when we're recording this, 15 games deep right now. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about how things have gone so far?
You know, I think we've played 3 weekends, 5 games each weekend, and each weekend has showed us a little bit something about who we are and who we're going to be. I think this team is extremely gritty and resilient, and, you know, we've had some high moments, we've had some low moments, but the goal with non-conference is always growth. How are we growing game to game? Maybe some mistakes or situations that didn't go how we wanted. Next time we're in that situation, how did we respond? And if we can see those growth pieces and those transitions, you know, eventually everything will take care of itself on the field. So really excited about this group. I think, you know, we've seen offensively what they can do game in and game out, and it's really exciting. You know, just looking at our lineup and putting a lineup together, I tell them all the time, like, you know, they are an extremely dangerous group. And as long as they continue to believe that, I look forward to see how they continue to grow in our next 4 games that we have here in Florida. But I'm excited. This team is going to be an exciting team to watch. And, you know, we've come back in the 7th inning, scored multiple runs, 4 extra innings, played a lot of great competition. And, you know, we want that challenge and that push because MAC play will be no different. Every single team in the MAC is going to be good, and this year's no different. So,
I mean, just looking at the stats, like, the offensive numbers are outstanding so mm-hmm. far, and it's tough. You guys are on the road so much at the beginning of the season, but it has to be encouraging to you that it might be a little bit difficult to fill out the lineup because you have some good options there on how to piece this thing together.
Definitely. You know, always tell them, make my job really hard. Mm. And also, you know, next chip up. So if maybe someone's having an off day or an off weekend, who's going to be that next chip to step up and, you know, give to Team 48 and embrace their role and do their job for that day? So, but yeah, we are 19 strong and have everything that we need to be successful, and just got to continue to believe that and keep getting 1% better every day.
I was about to ask, maybe it is the 1% better, but what are your goals in terms of before you get into conference play and you go on your spring break trip and you get ready, what do you hope to see from this group as they evolve and get better?
You know, we talked about growth and, you know, progress over perfection. And, you know, this game can really take over your mental side if you allow it. So trying to stay process focused, next pitch approach. And, you know, the previous pitch doesn't know what happened, or the current pitch doesn't know what the previous pitch did. So how are you going to attack that and do it with your best effort? So just continued growth. I think, you know, we know we can win close games, but we also know if we don't stay clean in certain aspects, we're going to be on the other end of those games. So I want us to be gritty and greedy and, you know, improving in those areas. And I think they're doing that and they're showing that growth. Consistency is huge. whatever the day brings, no matter, you know, if you wake up feeling a little bit sore or a little bit tired, how am I going to work through that and still be the best version of myself for my team and give them everything I have that day? But yeah, excited about what I've seen so far. I think just the grittiness and the resiliency is huge. So, yeah.
Very cool. Well, we're excited to keep watching and wish you the best of luck down there as you guys head to Florida.